Randy, I want to talk to you about the unstoppable tide of time.
Is there any specific type, any specific aspect you want to drill down on, or just the slow inexorable march of one second per second?
Let me lighten things up a little bit. I want to talk to you about things that have well and poorly aged. Movies and video games and books and stuff.
Well, and this is something that's more relevant than ever these days, as people sort of pick through old bits of popular media and you know, find a bunch of stuff in it that really just doesn't
sit well with today's standards and sensibilities.
Just the lefty woke mob coming for us all, Dennis.
Right, exactly. So what prompted this
will happen to us. I wonder if we can thread the needle with this dumb podcast.
The tone offers us some armor, I think.
Well, like,
size of the audience offers us some armor as well.
Very true. We just bury and forget about it. But I'm just wondering if there is something that we're doing, because I mean, you know, the people, like people hundreds of years ago, when they're being judged very harshly by today's standards, a lot of them didn't think they were doing anything wrong. They were oblivious to the fact that, like, some of the things they were doing were just completely morally repugnant. Defending their behavior,
the zeitgeist,
but I'm just,
that changes
the reality of it. They didn't think they were doing anything wrong. I wonder if we are doing... Do you know what? I'm convinced something that is going to be looked back on as completely morally repugnant is...
I think I know what you're going to say.
It's not being vegetarian.
Yeah, I was going to say eating meat. Yeah, I think eating that is going to... Yeah. That is
well,
gonna,
I think
that
eating lab-grown meat will be fine, but I think eating the flesh of dead animals is something that people look back on in horror and disgust eventually.
I want to clarify, people hope Riley is saying this as not a vegetarian.
Oh, no, I'm going down the history book. I'm going the wrong side of the historical ledger for sure. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Some things are just going out of fashion as well, though. Like smoking and drinking are both way, 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 way down.
Smoking in particular, yeah, like drinking. I mean, you know, people still enjoy a glass.
Not as much though. People who are like just entering like their turning 21, like 21 to 25 now, drink 20 to 25% less than the previous generation at that age.
I don't think there's the same stigma though, right? Like that might be, you know, it's healthier not to drink, da da da, whatever else. But there's like, I don't judge someone for drinking the same way that I judge someone for smoking, right? Like, if someone comes to me and says, I've quit smoking, that's certainly getting a bigger congratulations than I've quit booze.
Agreed. Well, actually, I don't know if that's true. I think quitting booze gets a bigger congratulations only because it's more... I guess there's no healthy amount of smoking, but there is a healthy amount of drinking, right?
And also, actually, it's a lot less socially acceptable. Speaking from personal experience, it's a lot less socially acceptable to not drink than it is to not smoke. So,
well, that's changing. So there's an interesting thing.
Well, that's just me, Dennis. Trailblazing, man. Trailblazing.
Right, Ash. We've shifted the topics there. Now we're talking about this. I'm putting poorly aged movies in my pocket for a different time. So
okay. Okay. Very good.
Yeah, actually,
right, that's good. All right.
So something's changed. Something changed. It used to be, and Dave Mitchell has a bit about this before, and it was before the smoking ban in Ireland. So depending on where you're to say this might be the case where you live, might not. You can't smoke indoors anywhere that isn't your own private home in Ireland, basically.
Mm-hmm. Rightly so.
And I think Australia's the same, isn't it?
Almost certainly. I think like there are even restrictions about where you can smoke in public, like out in the open air. There are various, like you can't smoke near a school, you can't smoke within a certain number of meters of a building entrance, all sorts of stuff, yes.
So before that, pubs and bars were just clouds of smoke, as you might imagine. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long time.
I'm old enough to remember coming home from a nightclub stinking of smoke.
Yeah. And it used to be that was the thing. And then I remember Dave Mitchell has a bit about it. He's like, it was great. I didn't like the people smoke, but it was whatever. But now enough people smoke that when they go out to have a cigarette, I'm sat there with all their coats for 20 minutes waiting for everyone to come back.
Yeah.
But now the tide has shifted. Now I'm a very small minority of my friends smoke. And it's annoying, generally speaking, when they go out for a cigarette.
I found this. I wondered when the tide was going to turn while working in hospitality, because everyone would go and, you know, have a chuff while they were as a
well. That's because it gives you an extra
anything.
Break.
You just get a 10-minute break every it's hour.
Tactical.
Or two. And I didn't get that because I didn't smoke, and it was very annoying. So I wanted to be like, can I go and just have a fresh air break instead of putting carcinogens in my lungs break? But no, that's not how it worked. But I wonder how long it will take before it's just like, well, you don't get a smoke break. Like I'm not paying you to go and spend 10 minutes or 5 minutes, however long it takes.
I'm sure there's some places that do that now.
I mean, I wouldn't blame them. There are certain forms of discrimination that I really don't have a problem with. And when you're choosing to, you know, foul up the healthcare system by putting poison into your lungs, like, I don't think you should be getting benefits at work for it.
A strong anti-smoking podcast here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Dennis, I'm going to make a bold stand and say that smoking is bad. And I don't care if I go down in history on the wrong side of the ledger for that one.
On that one? Well, also, like, it's different, like, in different places. Like I'm from the Balkans, and everybody over there smokes.
Yeah, yeah. It's much. I remember living in Berlin. It's much more common for people to jump Eastern Europe as well.
Even for the
and even more so, I would imagine. Yeah, yeah.
I want to look up what the stat is because my father often talks about how just everybody smokes there.
Are we doing smoking chat now, or can I sort of pivot into social acceptability of certain things chat? Because there was something that happened to me this week that I want to share with you, right?
We can pivot, but I want you to guess what percentage of people in Bosnia have to go off and smoke, Riley.
Like 80%?
No, God, no. It's like 36.
Oh, 90%? 110%. Yeah, okay. That's lower than I thought. That isn't as high as I thought it would be.
No, because like, what's the I was getting people smoke in Ireland, for example.
I don't know. I would have guessed something like 20-30% in a place like Ireland.
16 and 19 for men and women, for women and men.
Okay, so it's not that much higher in your neck of the woods.
It's almost double.
All right. Okay. You're massaging those figures a little bit, but that's the Dennis Stranjak magic.
It's double in women. 35% is more than double of 16.
Okay. All right. Well, he's got us there, my friends. He has got us there, exalted listener. And I'm assuming that you're all on my side with this exchange for some reason.
Yeah. Here's the other question. And before we pivot to what you want to talk about is, do you think people should be allowed to smoke? Like, should cigarettes be banned?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. We don't need them. The only reason that they're still there is a holdover from tobacco lobbies still having, you know, still whispering in the right politicians' ears and that sort of stuff. They've been grandfathered in through a series of you know, through a long time of political lobbying and inertia and all that sort of stuff. Nah, ban them. Nah, who cares?
It is very inconsistent.
People say, then the market will be flooded with cheap, even more dangerous tobacco and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it'll be less accessible than ever before. And no, honestly, in Australia, a packet of cigarettes costs something like $40 or $50. And
yeah, it's expensive here too.
I'd be happy to see that the tax on it doubled because, you know, bugger them. Smokers aren't doing
you have to have some capacity. Some people are addicted to these things, and financially crippling them only makes it difficult for poor people to smoke.
But at the end of the day, the option there, especially when there are medical aids that you can make use of if you need to wean yourself off them and that sort of thing, like, don't start to begin with and look for paths to get off the durries if you are on them, and because there's just no upside. The only thing it's doing is lining the pockets of tobacco magnates.
It is interesting, like, if I have kids and they're like you know, and in 15 years or whatever they're teenagers. I wonder if it'll even be cool to smoke.
Well, I mean, in New Zealand, I think the policy that they've got going is they are going to draw a line in the sand and say anyone who was born after this date cannot buy cigarettes ever. So that's there'll be wild. One generation, there'll be one last year of 18-year-olds who can go out and buy a deck on their 18th birthday, and then the next day, no one will be able to buy cigarettes from that age or below.
That's such a weird law that you're like grandfathered in.
Yeah, and if you're born one day late, that's it. No dairies for you to munch on, mate. I don't know. I don't mind it. I'd be happy to just ban it outright. But you know, obviously New Zealand once again leading the charge. Here's an interesting fact about New Zealand, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that the other week. No snakes in New Zealand.
Yep.
Also, no nukes at all. They don't allow nuclear power in the country at all, to the point that I think it was in the 60s. I can't remember exactly when it was, but Australia, New Zealand, and America, the United States, formed a mutual defense treaty called ANZUS. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And New Zealand pulled out because they refused to let American nuclear submarines harbor in their ports. Yeah, into their territorial waters.
When you said no nukes, do you mean no nuclear weapons or no nuclear power?
Nothing. No, whatsoever.
I have differing opinions on those two things.
I do too, but I do admire New Zealand's
hard line.
Yeah, exactly. They know where to draw a line, Dennis. If there's one thing the Kiwis are good at doing, it's drawing a line.
I'm extensively pro nuclear power, for what it's worth.
Well,
heavy pro nuclear power.
As a transitional power source towards full renewable energies. I'll put it this way. I'd rather we were powered
by a nuclear civilization than an oil civilization.
Or coal, for certain. Yeah.
Coal.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what Australia's on, coal. It's disgraceful. Anyway, I want to dial it back, Dennis, to what we were talking about before in terms of the social acceptability of
yes,
these behaviors, things. Right? Smoking, drinking, that sort of stuff. I went to a dinner party or like a little barbecue type get together thing with some of Megan's friends. I didn't know anyone there, right? I'd
met Are any dinner friends. Parties in Australia ever indoors? Like,
no, yeah, no, it was outdoors. It was outdoors, yes. Anyway, so I went there. I didn't know any of the people that were going to be there, right? Now, I have a thing. The people that we were visiting had three dogs, a Great Dane, a Jack Russell. So, you know, the whole size spectrum there, and then one in the middle, right? I don't know what kind of dog it was, but it was too large for my comfort. Now, I don't like dogs, right? I just don't. Yeah,
and
like
you don't have a phobia of dogs, but you're certainly not comfortable around dogs.
And this, Dennis, is the point that I want to talk about. Because in order to make, to spin my dislike of dogs to be more palatable, right? I lie through my teeth to people that I meet for the first time when there are dogs and I'm averse to them. And I say, sorry, I'm afraid of dogs. Right.
So, are you annoyed by dogs, or are you discomfort? Like, do you have a diet phobia of dogs, or are you just like, this dog is very annoying?
Definitely scary dogs, like Alsatians or pit bulls or Rottweilers.
A dog where it's an even shot if it gets to do a fight with you.
Yes, a dog that might rip my throat out, like those aggressive attack dogs. I'm very wary of them, to the point that I think you could say that I was afraid. But no, like this Great Dane, I wasn't scared of it. I just didn't want to be near it because it was big and smelly and slobbering everywhere. And anyway, Megan doesn't like it when I lie about it. She doesn't like it. She loves dogs, and she doesn't like that I don't like dogs, and she doesn't like that I lie about being afraid of dogs. She's like, just
own it. Would she rather have the difficult conversation with everyone instead?
Well, I said, all right, I'll show you what happens when I don't lie about it. So we went to this thing, we met these people, and the dog came over, and I was like, ugh, like doing that thing where like shying away from it. People looking at me like, oh, do you not like dogs? I'm like, sorry, I just really don't like dogs. And all that happened was, for the rest of the night, they all try to convince me how great dogs are.
Yeah.
And every time the dog came near me, they'd just give him a pat. He won't slobber. Just give him. And like the dog's trying to eat my food, trying to get him, like the Jack Russell's jumping up on the table. Like all this stuff is happening. I'm just like, I don't want any of this to happen. And, you know, then one of them was like giving it a pat and scratching the head. And it was like, you know, it was being kind of what they thought was cute, whatever else. I don't see how a dog that's nearly the size of a horse has the capacity to be cute, but whatever. And they're like, look, isn't it sweet? Look, isn't it nice? And I'm just like, if I had come in and said I was afraid of dogs, no one would have done anything to try to convince me otherwise. So that's why, in order to, you know, make it more socially,
I think you're doing the right thing. I think it's very fair for you to do that, because you're right. People are, as time goes on, and I've talked about this in the podcast before, about how everyone's like, don't get a dog. Mm. As time goes on, I don't know if I like dogs very much.
No, and admitting that public, like if I say I don't like cats, everyone's like, yeah, fair enough. No one's,
yeah, what the hell, right?
But even me, as like you and I, we love cats, right? And if someone came to me, if someone came to me and said I don't like cats, I'd be like, fair enough, they're assholes. they are really just little assholes.
But you know what cats do, broadly speaking, keep to themselves.
Yes, they do.
Dogs are.
But that's not my point. Like, my point is that even cat lovers like you and me, we accept that people don't like cats, whereas people who love dogs, for some reason, they're not able to accept that there are people who don't like dogs, and not even are indifferent to dogs, don't want dogs near them.
I'm like, if I go to a barbecue and there's a dog there, I'll play with the dog, I'll pet the dog, it's fine. But especially if it's a big dog, I'm like, I don't enjoy this. This is not, because there's an element of, it's not even that I'm afraid of the dog, I'm not like, oh, get away from me. But I am like, this thing's big and has giant teeth. And there's some part of my lizard brain that's like, I don't really want to hang around with it.
And also with many dogs, it's not an opt-in experience.
No, that's true. Like, look, my sister-in-law, Nikki's sister, has a dog. Massive, massive dog. I think, as I recall, and I could be misremembering, I think she was sold the dog as like a mini whatever. And it was just not. It's huge.
The wrong tag was put onto the factory, yeah.
Oh, no, they're all mini when they're puppies is the problem. I don't know what kind of dog it is. It's like a big, like, Labradori type, big gold retrievery Labradori dog, right?
Okay.
And it's huge. Like, this dog is huge and strong and stupid and friendly.
Yes.
Like, slobbery, running around, ha ha ha, I want to play.
No, thanks.
And when her sister was pregnant, the dog would run at her and, like, jump at her and be like, oh, I want to play. I'm like, this dog is going to knock this 8-month-old pregnant woman onto the ground. And he has bowled her over in the past.
Yeah. Yeah,
and like, and she'd be like, "Oh, he's getting better." As the dog like charges at her, and she has to literally wrestle with him to get him through a door. And I'm like, "This is terrible."
Yeah,
this is a terrible, terrible time.
But look, if you love dogs, that's great. You know, I'm not saying
that's fine. Yeah, I don't want to yuck anybody's yum. But if you love dogs and someone else doesn't, don't judge them, because the reasons for not loving dogs are more robust than you might expect, I think.
Exactly right. And certainly, you know, if you've got a dog and you love that dog, full power to you. I mean, if you know, Dennis, if there is a situation where if I'm having to all of a sudden make legislative decisions about banning certain things that people really like, and on my desk there's one or the other, it's got to go, Mr. President. Which one is it? Is it dogs or is it cigarettes?
Easy.
Very, smoking very dogs. Easy. I mean, they both stink.
I don't think dogs generally smell that bad, to be honest. I mean, when they get out of like the sea or whatever, yes, this, like a wet dog smells awful, but generally I don't know.
Maybe this is because my mum's dog would always go and roll on the kangaroo shit up on the golf course, and that would, you know, that'd be that.
And never a more Australian sentence was spoken. I think by hearing that, I've become a citizen. So thank you for that. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I don't think I want a dog, because I always imagine, like, you know, I'll have a family and then we'll get the family dog. And as time goes on, I'm like, maybe we just don't. And it's also like the upkeep on dogs is so high. Like, I was listening to somebody talk about their dog the other day, and they're like, yeah, it's actually pretty low maintenance. Like, we walk the dog, we only have to walk him like 3 times a day. I'm like, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's an hour and a half of your time a day, at least.
How many times do you walk at the cat a day, Dennis?
Zero. Nikki's tried. He won't go. We have a lead for the cat. She's like, we'll take the cat in a walk. And I'm like, Nikki's not going to want to do this.
Oh, man. Like, all right. Well, I'm sorry to have hijacked your topic, but you kind of hijacked yourself to begin with as well. Like,
yeah, that's fine. We change lanes. It's okay. We're it's like jazz. You don't need to worry about too much. I play a little bit. You play a little bit. It's all good.
Okay, and we're just not in completely different keys, different instruments.
Don't get into whether we like jazz or not, right? I've seen La La Land 8 times. I think jazz is the greatest piece of thing in the world.
Hang on, what? Do you not think do you think I don't like jazz?
I was just saying, like, you didn't, because you're like, we're all both in different keys. Everything sounds wrong. It's all
coffins. No, I'm just saying that you're like, oh, let's have a chat about old movies. And I'm like, how about dogs? You're like, what about cigarettes? I'm like, oh, let's go back to dogs. You know, like, I'm not saying that I don't like jazz. That's a very interesting takeaway. Dennis, you want another very embarrassing confession from me?
Let's have two white guys talk about jazz. I love this. Let's go.
No, I'm not. I don't want to for very long anyway. But I decided I was going to like jazz when I was about 14. It coincided
You make all your best decisions at that age. Oh, yeah.
It coincided. It wasn't too far off the time that I was reading all that, like all those books about philosophy. It's very surprising I didn't start wearing flat caps. I actually do have a mild appreciation of jazz, just because I did that thing, you know, when you're that young and you take up an affectation that you're going to base your entire personality around. I did a bunch of reading about Miles Davis and Charlie Parker and Louis Armstrong and all the rest of them, Dave Brubeck and Duke Ellington and all the classics, right? And I knew all the stuff about them as well, so I could lord my superior. I got into jazz for the best of reasons, to be an insufferable jazz fan. I'm glad it didn't stick.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I want to get away from this. Let's shift gears.
I really just absolutely messed you up, didn't I? I'm so sorry. You're like, hey, I want to come and have a chat about these films that haven't aged
I did it
well.
To
I'm
myself
like,
first, and I think we hit a rich vein, and that's okay. And we put that one in our pocket. Pete Holmes always talks on his podcast. I usually does it within the first episode, within one episode, about you putting irons in the fire and you take them out one by one. And we'll take out that poorly aged movies one some other time.
Yeah, but all we did was shake the chimney and a bunch of irons we didn't realize were in there fell out. And we sort of scrabbled, made a big mess on the hearth as we scrabbled
to pull them all out. They're good and hot.
Dennis, I want to return to, and look, we're not going to call it a segment because it's not a segment, but it's a bit of a mainstay for me when I haven't had a very exciting week. I'm like, I'll talk about, there's a type of thing I like to talk about from my past, and that is strange people with strange habits that I've associated with in the past.
Washing your feet in a bidet, et cetera, et cetera.
Washing your feet in a bidet, learning how to lucid dream, that sort of stuff. And I want to talk to you about someone who I think is one of the most shameless men I've ever met, right?
Okay.
His name is George, right?
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a few examples of George's behavior, and you can tell me just sort of on what level you think George used to operate. I haven't spoken to him for many years. Maybe he's calmed down a little bit, right? The story I always tell about George, the opening George story, we're at the Northcote Social Club, right? We're out for dinner and it was a busy night. Kitchen was obviously getting slammed and there was quite a wait for food, right? Like 40 minutes. We're starving. We'd ordered our burgers, whatever else, but we're really, really hungry. Place is heaving. All sorts of people there. We've got our drinks, but we're all very hungry. George, amongst us. I mean, he's letting us know, Dennis. Let me tell you this. He's not suffering in silence. Oh no, right?
No, he's insuffering in silence.
He's being insufferable in not silence, yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the table next to us, they get up.
I think you've told me about this. Oh my God, go ahead.
So the table, they've had a big meal. They've had all their food brought out. I think they were sharing some stuff as well, right? And obviously, they didn't get through all of their food.
Well, you went out for dinner with people like this who would deliberately order far too much food and then just throw it all out.
Oh yeah, we can come to that. That's a different story. But yes, but this wasn't. I mean, we didn't know these people. Didn't know who they were. The four of them got up and left the pub, and that was that. But they left their food obviously on the table for the waiters to come and collect.
Now, what are we talking? Are we talking like full items, or just like a couple of chips here and there?
We're talking like, well, the item in question, the one that the exhibit A to the jury here is going to be a half finished plate of nachos that was being shared between the four of them, right? Okay. And this still, it had a lot of chips, plenty of cheese, there's guac, there's sour cream, there's everything, right? Still going on with this. I think they got it to share to munch on, and none of them actually really got that stuck into it.
None of them committed to it, yeah.
Exactly. So half a plate of nachos, in addition to like, I don't know, some burger crusts and some like chips and whatever else. Before these people have like left the outdoor eating area, right? Before they have completed their exit
insight,
from. They are rapidly.
If they were background extras, they would still need to be in character.
Exactly right. George has gotten up, gone over to the table, lifted up the plate of nachos, brought it back to his where he was sitting, put it down in front of him, and he started eating it.
So this is obviously heinous and inhuman and gross.
Well, the thing is,
but. If there was any food, I think it would be even approaching acceptable to do this with. Hmm. I think it would be communal nachos. Those are designed for already being shared.
Exactly. No mouth is. They're not eating it out of. It's not like a food trough. They're not eating it like pigs out of a trough. No.
It's anyway, definitely socially very unacceptable.
Of course it is. And the rest of us at the table are like, George,
what are you doing, George?
What are you doing, man? What are you? Because other people saw it and he just did not care. Right?
That is a shameless man. Your description when you started talking about George was spot on.
But here was his response. And this really summed up George for all of us, right? And this is the reason I always open with this story about him. Because his defense to eating the nachos in this way, in this absolutely shameless way, in full view of everyone there at the North Coast Social Club, he goes, "What? I've done worse." Which is
That's not really a defense
when you think about it.
That's an additional admission of guilt. Now, Riley,
yes,
I have to assume the nacho at the North Coast Social Club, whatever you called it, is the opening salvo, and it implies to me that you're familiar with some of the worst things George has done.
I actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, I don't know what he did that was much worse than that. I can give you some other examples. There's certainly one thing that he did that wronged me more personally. In the grand scheme of things, it's probably not as bad.
That I'm always here for.
But this one, I was very, very frustrated with the situation here. Oh, and a special guest joins us on the podcast here, Megan Simpson, home from her day at work.
Hello.
A quick report in from Megan. How's she doing?
A quick report from Megan. Let's have a quick catch up and check in with Megan as she comes and joins us here. Welcome to have a listen to this. Megan Simpson, long time fan of the show and former
long time involuntary listener of half of the show.
Exactly. Still hasn't listened to the episode where I had omit things. How are you? How's your day?
Yeah, my month
is. We can move on from that. How's your day?
It was wonderful. I had a good day.
You had a good day?
I did have a good day.
Good day. Often Megan will come home caked in mud and earth and dirt, and today is certainly no exception. She's very, very dirty girl, and not in the way that I think our teenage boy listeners
for free.
Would be hoping for.
Oh my God!
Any exciting news? Did any of the horses do anything particularly amusing today, Megan?
No, they were all really. Oh, I did get a back massage off of one of the horses.
You got
with bated breath.
Rewind.
Okay, I'm going to need you to step a little closer so they can hear you all properly and repeat. You just said you got a back massage from one of the horses.
I did.
I would love to hear this. Get her on the mic.
Some human massages I've had.
How did you get a back massage from a horse that didn't result with you getting, needing spinal surgery?
Because, so you know when you scratch a horse and they do the nose wiggle thing?
I do not know that, so by the way, but sure.
That is like massive, and he has a huge nose. And my boss was scratching him.
All right.
So I stood in front of him, and all right. The horse was rubbing
like
my back.
Like a bear in front of a tree. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You weren't getting a back massage from the... It wasn't... So you weren't getting a back massage with the horse's hooves?
Oh, no. That, I would not.
Do you think when... No. Do you think when Genghis Khan stampeded through Eurasia, he would refer that to giving all of the locals involuntary back massages as
or he himself
tore his way across
the continent? Maybe Genghis Khan himself would get a back massage like that from one of his noble steeds in order to calm down, Megan. Is that something that the horse folk often employ, or is this a...
It's a new thing for me. I will be employing it more often from now on. No, I know you can do it.
Well... An interesting piece of development from Megan's workday. She always comes home with the most. I tell you what, Dennis. Can I tell you very truly? She comes home with the most interesting stories from work. She's still in the room, so I need to maintain that fiction until she can't hear me anymore.
Much like George maintaining his fiction. George didn't even maintain his fiction of not wanting to hear the people.
No. George was not a man given to maintaining fiction at any point.
There was a real chance it sends them when those four people ordered a plate of nachos for the table that five hands hit the middle of the table when they started eating.
What a
you said George personally wronged you.
Well, so he lived in a share house with some other friends of mine as well. So I'd often go around. George and I weren't close. It'll surprise you to learn, but I would often go around and hang out with one of his housemates who was a closer friend of mine.
George is a recurring guest on the sitcom of your life then.
Yes. Yeah. He was the Newman
featured player. Right? Newman. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Can I tell you as well, from the housemate's perspective, he was a nightmare to live with. Right. So didn't buy anything for the house. Like, because if you live in a share house, you know everyone sort of pitches in for stuff like, you know, things everyone's using: dishwashing detergent, toilet paper,
salt, yeah,
all that sort of stuff. Right. So my housemate James and the other housemate, whose name I've unfortunately forgotten, I didn't know her very well. One day they decided to hide all the toilet paper because they were the only ones buying it, right?
Almost like a trade blockade, yeah.
So they hid all the toilet paper and George...
And the plan then is wait for George to notice, to be like, come to the toilet paper, and they're like, well, you haven't been paying for the toilet paper. Have you, George? Yeah, I see.
Well, George, that's not the line that George took. George didn't take the where's the toilet paper line, right?
Okay, I didn't know there was another line on the table in this case.
Oh, well, George finds the line, dude. He came out to the lounge room where they were both seated, and he said, what the f***, guys? Someone needs to buy some toilet paper, all right?
Ooh.
Like, you could, George.
That exhibits... I don't think I like George very much.
No.
Because before, what he was doing was gross, but ultimately victimless, right?
Yeah.
In the restaurant. This example exhibits indicates a level of like self-centrism and like narcissism that it's very difficult for me to get behind.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it wasn't just toilet paper. He would use their toothpaste and then complain when they ran out.
I thought that word was toothbrush, yeah, and I was like, George used to be in prison.
Yeah, yeah. No, but the thing he did to me, I went over one time, and James and I we got lunch. We went and got some pizzas and brought them back. And I was very much looking forward to taking, because I ate half the pizza, put it in his fridge. And I was very, very much looking forward to having the rest of the pizza for dinner after I left James's place. I was going to take it home. Didn't really have a plan. I was just going to like hold it awkwardly under my arm as I rode my bike. But whatever. I had four pieces of pizza in James's fridge ready to go for my dinner, and I couldn't wait. James and I went out. We came back and got back to find George halfway through my pizza.
Your pizza.
So, and I was like, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, it was in the fridge. Sorry, I just like, yeah, why'd you put it in the fridge if you didn't want me to? Oh, yeah.
You put it in the fridge to keep it cold.
Well, I'm paraphrasing. The reason I sort of faltered over that, the retelling of that anecdote, is because I remember I just put the word sorry into it there. Pretty sure he didn't say sorry.
Sure. Okay. You don't want to put words in his mouth.
No,
it's too full of pizza.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Exactly right.
Oh, you know what tastes better than... So a lot of people say, you know, well, cold pizza tastes better than hot pizza. I think most people are crazy, but a lot of people say that. You know what tastes even better than cold pizza?
Go on.
Free cold pizza.
Yeah.
That's the real killer.
Cold pizza that you didn't pay for.
That the
pizza fairies put into your put into your fridge. There's one more George anecdote I want to tell, Dennis. I don't know if you've got any insufferable friend anecdotes that you want to share, but there's one more George anecdote, right, that doesn't reflect very badly on him, but is very, very funny. I used to ride my bike around everywhere in Melbourne when I was at that age, right? But sometimes when it was cold or rainy or just didn't feel like it, I would get the train. And George and James and the housemate lived very, very, like quite close to me, like one train station away from me, right? And one day I was in the city, got the train back towards where I lived. And it was in peak hour, rush hour, so the train's absolutely packed. No, like, couldn't sit down, right, because all the seats
peak
are taken.
Hour. I thought it was in peak hour, which is some neighborhood of Melbourne.
Yeah, it was in the Melbourne region of peak hour. No, peak hour. And I am on this platform. I'm on the train, and I start hearing this shouting down from the other end. And not words.
So are you about to have a George sighting in the wild?
Someone going, ah! Ah! Making noises like that, right?
What? Okay. Like they're taking damage in a Bethesda game.
Exactly. Yes. Like someone making, it's like a guard after going, no, play with your blood, you know, and you're just bonking them with the sword, right? And I'm going, what the hell is that, right? And then I heard this person who was yelling and sounded slightly bonkers, then went, oh, come on. And I thought, there's no way, right? But as soon as this person had spoken and wasn't just yelling, I recognized his voice. And sure enough, as a couple of people got off the train, as we continued out towards Northcote, down at the other end of the train, yelling into his 3DS,
what?
Was George. And so
I
went over.
It was at least going to be he was on the phone having like a breakup with his girlfriend or his boyfriend or something.
No. He was playing, was it that? I think it was a Zelda game. I can't remember.
I'd love if it was like brain training or like Animal Crossing. Something very low intensity.
But no, as I watched and people getting very uncomfortable looking at him because he was making a lot of noise as he was yelling at his DS. But I went over, I was like, hey, George. And I went over to him. I'm like, what are you doing, man? And he's going, oh, I'm playing this game and you have to like scare these guards off. And there's got like a microphone. You have to make a lot of noise by like, you have to yell at them to move it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I remember that when that was announced, like I think it was a Zelda game that you use like the stick to like the stylus to control Link's sword, and then you would have to like shout to stun guards or something. I can't remember it exactly, but he was just doing that on the train.
Everybody knows that.
And that's what I said to him. I'm like, you know, you can just like do exactly that into a microphone, make that sound, it'll be fine. He's like, oh, I didn't know that.
And why was he yelling, come on? That must have been just a frustration.
Because it wasn't working.
Exclamation, right?
Or because it was too much noise or something. I don't know. Like, he was frustrated with the game. Dennis, I don't know. He just didn't
so
have...
funny, dude.
But when I told him, like, you can just play to that, he's like, oh my... He wasn't like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. Oh my goodness, I had no idea. He was just like, oh,
no,
okay.
I think if you were to, like... And I know they don't do personality tests that are quite this granular. I also think personality tests are kind of flawed anyway. Like, it's not like, oh, he's an INTJ. That's not what I mean.
Well, he'd be an INT, you could, like, INTL for loud.
INT jerk. If you were to graph... you know, like when you're making a character in The Sims and you can be like, they're this boisterous and they're this passionate and they're this career, all this stuff.
Yep.
If you could do that for human beings, right? If you could like click on somebody and it would just spill out and give you this chart of all the different attributes, I have to imagine George's self-awareness is just through the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's...
Is that true? Is he aware that this is a weird way to behave and he doesn't care? Because the defense I've done worse implies he knows but doesn't care. Right?
Yeah, but then someone has to buy toilet paper indicates that he doesn't. Look, I don't know, Dennis.
That's interesting. Yeah,
and we'll probably never find out because I don't foresee...
You don't regularly hang out with George? You didn't keep him a part of your life?
I haven't kept in touch with George, unfortunately, no.
Riley, I have an example of something similar to this. It's nowhere near as heinous. Like, I think George should be tried for war crimes, but... I want to talk to you about something that I think is near and dear to your heart.
Go on.
Which is board game night etiquette.
Oh no. Well, this is, and do you know how I met George?
Was it a board game night where he flipped the Monopoly and then started eating Scrabble tiles because they're in the cupboard? Like,
it was through D&D, and
I bet he's a fun player to have at the table.
Oh baby, yeah, it was. Anyway, yeah, so. George, not the sort of person you want to play a board game with, and I can imagine that whoever you're going to talk about is cut from the same cloth.
So I went to a board game night, and it was after a work day. It was a school night, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
So we all arrived there at, 6:30 or whatever. So most of it comes straight from work, myself included. And we were like, oh, we'll probably get pizza or something, we'll get food or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We get there to discover that the hosts had already eaten.
Okay. Had they made that clear?
No.
Weird. Yeah, definitely weird.
No, and there was no like, are you guys hungry? Or, and then we didn't really feel comfortable being like, could we get to the pizza? You know what I mean?
Well, that's where my level of shamelessness would have just been like, all right, well, I'm going to eat. So do you guys want to order something?
I think I made a mistake. I think I didn't know these people as well at the time. So I didn't want to fall on that sword. But I think I would have been defensive for me to do that. But that's not the bad part, Riley.
Okay.
I was like, oh, of course. I reached my bag and I was like, oh, I brought snacks. So I gave him like two bags of chips. And I was like, here you go. I'm coming to visit your home. I brought some snacks, right? That's it's a considerate thing to do.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And the guy was like, oh, okay, cool, thanks. And just put them away.
Oh, my goodness.
And then.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, so I'm not hungry. I've already eaten. There's no way that anyone else could possibly want to eat these. Thank you for the kind gift.
They pulled them out apropos of nothing, I would imagine. And we finished. We tidy up the board game, right? We're going to go home because it's late at this stage. It's like 11 o'clock, wherever. And like I said, it's a weeknight.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, oh, do you want to eat your snacks before you leave? And I was like, no, I don't want to just have us all sit around a table while I eat some crisps. I was like, you can keep them. I'm going home.
What was that? A desperate attempt to save face? Did he forget about the snacks and that's how he's thinking like, oh, no, before you leave everyone, sit down. I'll get a bowl out.
It was very, very weird.
Yeah, you're telling me. Holy moly. What? Okay. Well, that's, yeah. And that's the risk, man. Like, you take snacks to someone's place and unless they're like, because the thing is, if everyone has brought snacks, right? And like you have to leave them there. You can't, like, even if you don't get to them, you can't take them.
I was willing to leave them there. I just wanted to have I thought it'd be a nice thing to do.
Snack equity you lose by bringing, like, if everyone brings...
I just gifted two bags of chips. Like,
and there's another version of this story, Dennis, which makes you the weirdo. Yeah, this guy, he came to my house and, like, I don't know if he thought he had to, like, bring me tribute or something, but he just brought, like, two bags. Like, if he'd brought me a present, that would have been nice. Like, I don't know, a hat or something, that would have been, you know, pleasant. But, like, he just...
That would be so much weirder. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't know, man. That's...
I think I should have called the bluff. I should have said, yeah, let's sit around, eat the crisps, stew in it for 15 minutes, and then we'll all eat.
Just in silence. Just the sound of chewing as you're looking from person to person. Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting, like, you know, or I'd be like, well, cocktails are over here and canapes and the entree already in 15. No.
No.
That was not what I wasn't, you know, that's fine.
No, just
I'm not
a basic,
to be like,
basic level of sort of social cohesion. Where
I'm not trying,
like,
to be host elitist. I wasn't even like, they didn't offer us snacks. I brought snacks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. the whole, like, I haven't eaten. Oh, sorry. The whole, like, we've eaten and we're not going to address that situation for you guys. As a host, like, I don't think I think it's a bit strange, but it's not the end of the world if you. It's like, sorry, we were just really hungry.
And and some of it was on social awkwardness for the rest of us for not being like, oh, we're kind of hungry. Do you mind if we order Chinese food? We could have done that, and I think they would have been like, yeah, it's fine, obviously. But
imagine if they weren't. No, we've eaten.
You can eat in the car. Yeah.
If you're going to order it, you'll have to eat it outside because the evening meal has already been partook of in this household, and there will not be a second.
Yeah. Like sort of anti-hobbits.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that's
reverse
the, yeah.
Hobbits. Are your friends 7 foot tall? Do they bump their head on the windows?
Let me tell you, one of them had their shoes off. Not a single hair.
Hairless feet. Maybe. That's always a good hairless. One. Yeah, for sure. Anyway, I haven't kept up with George, Dennis. If I ever have another George encounter in the wild, I'll be sure to. I mean, the podcast, you'll be the first to know.
And you'll notice if you also, hear someone screaming at a Nintendo Switch on a train, you may have a George near you.
You may have come across a George situation.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Have a Listen to This, your weekly dose of bite-sized nonsense with Riley Knight and Dennis Treniak. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it. If you didn't like it, I guess tell them anyway, but hopefully they download it and they like it. Or if they don't, those downloads show up just the same, to be honest. If you really like the show, you head to patreon.com/havealistentothis and support the show, get the show a little bit early, as well as some other exclusive perks, and, you know, help us keep the lights and the mics on over here.